You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Okay, we're in a series of healthy living, and I want to continue in that series. In your life, I want to ask, if you're married, if you're a married man, how important in the priorities is your wife? Question number one. After? Oh, yeah, good. But it's good to answer that question, especially if your wife's sat next to you. Your wife has to be the most important relationship apart from God. So we all agree on that. So why am I saying that? We'll get to that in a moment. I'll get to explain why that's relevant to what I'm going to say. But I thinking about the title for today, I thought it could be healthy relationships, healthy community, but the title I want to give it is healthy church. What we've talked about so far is very individual, not so much individual, but partly individual and part about one-to-one relationships, about reading the Bible, about praying, healthy prayer, healthy Bible reading. But it has to be in the context of that we're part of a church. We're not isolated beings. We're not islands. We are part of a body, and that body is the church. Now, the church is a passion of mine, and so I'm so passionate about the church. It is fashionable for some people these days to say things like, I haven't got a problem with God. He's great. I have a problem with the church. Now, I have an issue with that kind of attitude is, and the issue is this. The church is the bride of Christ, and he is passionately besotted with his church. Absolutely in love with her. So if we are followers of Christ, we need to love the church. He sees her as beautiful, and so we need to have the same passion for the church that God has. He is passionate for his church. Now, the reason I'm passionate about is many years ago, when I was in, I've told this story again. Forgive me if I tell it again, but it's just part of what God has put in me. When I was in my 20s, we went on a Bible week, and it was a great time together. I had a fantastic time. On the last night, there was a brilliant preach about the church and about how the church was going to be take the nation for Christ, and we were all inspired. That was probably a Sunday night, I think, a weekend. The following Sunday in our church where I was in Huddersfield, it was a kind of Sunday where everybody shared all their stories of the Bible week, from how God had spoken, how God had moved. And that was the kind of what we did. But on this Sunday, it was a very low number. There wasn't many people there. And the reason was, in that week of camping, a few people had caught colds. And a lot of people weren't there that Sunday. They were too tired or got a cold. And I thought, this amazing church that was going to take the country and take the gospel to the nation, unfortunately, has got a cold. And I thought, this is not what I was promised. This is not what was preached. And I began to look at the church. And I looked in the New Testament, the amazing church that was birthed in the New Testament. They saw miracles, they saw healings, they saw thousands of people saved, they saw it impact in the cities. And I thought, that's the church I want to be part of. But when I look around at the church of now, I thought, that's not it. And I started to pray to God and I said, if this is it, then maybe I feel like giving up. I'll just leave the church, so I'll forget it. And I was in this process of talking to God about this. And I started to read in Haggai. It's a book in the Old Testament. The context of the book is that the people of Israel had been taken from exile from Israel and their temple had been destroyed. And then many years later, they went back and started to build the temple. And they got discouraged and stopped. And the prophet Haggai went to them and prophesied to encourage them to continue to build the temple. And I was reading through Haggai, and I got to chapter 2, verse 3, and it says this: "Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory?" He's talking about the temple. "Who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing?" And I stopped then and said, God, that's how I'm feeling. That is exactly what I'm feeling. I'm looking at the New Testament and how the church was then, and I'm looking at the church I see now, and I think it's nothing. It's nothing compared with what it should be. Then I continued to read, and then 6 verses later, Haggai 2 verse 9, God says this: "The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty." And that verse hit me in my heart, and I never forget that promise that God made to me, that the church will be greater than anything we read in the New Testament. Anything you read there, God will build a better church, a greater church, a more glorious church. We see ultimately in heaven that church that that Francis read. It's just nation upon nation praising God and all eyes on Jesus. It's a great picture of the church. And that is the church that God wants, a glorious church. So I want to talk today about a healthy church, the church that Jesus wants. And I can only scratch the surface, really, of what it can be. So God spoke to me that many years ago, and then I've been learning what that might look like, the church that Jesus wants. So I want to talk about a few aspects of the healthy church. Revelation 21 describes the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. We understand, because it's a bride, that this is the church that is ultimately so beautiful and glorious that it can't be described as just a bride or just a city. It's an amazing picture of the church. And Revelation 21 describes the beauty and wonder of this city, this bride, which is the church. And God's church will be beautiful and wonderful. It will be beautiful. And although we know that one day it will be, we are to today, as the bride, that we're supposed to get ourselves ready. So not only are we supposed to look forward, we're supposed to pray, your kingdom come, and may your church be, may your bride be as it wants. So I heard recently somebody talk about the church is the ultimate ugly duckling story. So if you know the story, most of you will, that the ugly duckling, this fairy tale, was the ugliest duckling in the family of ducklings. Wrong colour, too big, scruffy. But actually, the reason was, it was a swan, and one day became this beautiful swan. And one day, the church will be that beautiful bride, that beautiful swan. And God will complete it, but we are to work with him to see that bride come to pass. So I want to talk about some characteristics of that church. Firstly, it's characterized by his presence. The presence of God is the most important thing in his church. It's great to have nice flashing lights and great coffee and a great room, but what we want is his presence. What we want is his presence. The church is described as like a temple. Ephesians 2 says this: "In him," that's in Jesus, "the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." The purpose of the church is to be a place where God lives by his Spirit. So we want that when people come amongst us, either on a Sunday here or in group or any grouping of the church, that people know the presence of God, that they sense the presence of God. This for me is the number one thing I'm looking for in the church, the presence of God, that we know God's here. It didn't used to be number one, I had another idea. The church is not firstly about what we get from Jesus. It's about Jesus himself. It's about him being present. And the church is not actually for you. It's for him. He has bought with his blood a people for his pleasure. And we are part of that people. And it's a pleasure to be part of his church. The big characteristic of the church is to be his presence, a temple where God lives by his spirit. And we pray that. We pray for that. When we have 24 hours of prayer, we pray for revival. We pray that God's presence is amongst us. That's the big thing. And you look at all the pictures of the church in Revelation, you see that God is there. There is no temple in the city because God himself is the temple. His presence is in everything. And that's what we want, is it? That's what we aspire to as a church. That's something that has grasped me, that his presence is in everything we do. That's number one. Secondly, church should be characterized by love. We want everyone who encounters this church to encounter the love of God in whatever way they encounter the church, to know the love of God. But also, we want them to know our love. That's how some people will know the love of God, the love that we express them. And also, we want them to see that we love each other. That we love each other. God is love. The Bible says that God is love. So his church has got to express that. Jesus said, this was an answer to a question, what is the greatest command? He answered, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. What we want more than anything is, after his presence, I believe that people find love, that we are a loving people. Some people you'll find are easier to love than others, but we're called to love everybody. That's the calling we've got, to love one another. Love God and love one another. That sums up the whole law, Jesus said. Love God, love. So we want people to find his presence and find love. Because we love each other, third one is that we want people to find mercy and grace. Mercy is that God doesn't punish us the way we deserve. Grace is God shows kindness and goodness and generosity to us when we don't deserve it. Mercy is he doesn't punish us, but grace is he blesses and gives us kindness. But in church, we also need to show that to one another. It's not just getting it from God, it's getting it from each other. In any community bigger than one, you will find there's disagreement, there's friction, there's issues. And in church, it's going to be the same. But there are ways of over... The difference should be the way we handle that, because it's going to happen. And that we should handle it with forgiveness and love and forbearance. Colossians says this, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any one of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Clearly, if we have to forbear with one another, and if we have to forgive one another, then there's reasons where we need to do that. Things that annoy, things that upset, sin, grievances against each other. But the church is the place where we should resolve those things. Amen? This to me is part of the beautiful church that God is building. And fourthly, church should be a place of power. This was my number one when I first looked at the church in Acts. You saw great power in the church there, and I wanted that. I thought, that's what I want. But I see that there are things I believe that are more important. The sense of his presence, love, mercy, grace. But it should be a place of power. Acts tells us some of the power that was being demonstrated in the church then. Acts 2 verse 43 says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Verse 37, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Clearly God is at work in that church. People are being saved and healed. In fact, it continues, it wasn't just a one-off on that in the beginning. In Acts 5 it says, the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats, so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. That's amazing. All of them were healed. That's like Jesus. That's Jesus. That, it says of Jesus at times, all of them were healed. It says of the church, all of them were healed. And that's what happened in the New Testament. Why can't that happen again? Why not? What I want to try is to convey is that we have a promise from God of what the church is going to be like. She's going to be beautiful. She's going to be perfect. She's going to be holy. It's going to be heaven on earth, literally. Heaven coming down from earth. And God has promised us that. In the meantime, we're on a journey, and we're going to get there. God wants you to know that he's given his son for a perfect bride. He wants you to know that he's working in us to perform his will, that this church will be, when I say this church, I don't mean CLC, I mean his church. He's got one bride, and there are many congregations, and CLC is one partner. We can do. We need to pray for the whole church, his bride, but we're working it out here. That's why why am I telling you this? What is the response you want? Well, I want the response I'm looking for, and I'm going to pray for this. I want you really to grasp a vision for his church. His church, not CLC, his church. CLC's part. It's in the Bible. Jesus has promised it. Read Revelation 21. That's the church. He has promised a beautiful bride. And Jesus gave his life for it. He's besotted with his bride. It's worth giving your life for. Have a vision for the church. If you haven't got one, ask for one. Ask God for one. Secondly, I just want to encourage you to have a healthy relationship with the church. You know, because we see the ugly duckling at the moment, not the swan, we can be critical. But I want to urge you, don't be critical. Pray for the church. You know, Jesus is interceding before the Father for us. He is praying for us. He's praying for you. So we need to join him with his prayers and not be critical. Secondly, be a contributor rather than a consumer. And if you come along and just want to take, we will give. You know, we will give. You enjoy what you find here, but be a contributor. And work with Jesus. Do you know what it says? Jesus, it says that Jesus is building his church. Jesus said, I will build my church and the powers of hell will not conquer it. It will be a church that the powers of hell will not conquer. It will be a powerful, almighty, beautiful church. Jesus is working towards that because he said, I will build my church. And we are invited to be co-workers with Christ. We are invited to work with him. You know, if you build anything in your life that's not, is not what God is building, it's a waste of time. The psalm says, if the Lord does not build the house, they labor in vain who build it. If as laborers we're building something that God's not building, one day it will fall. One day it will fall. And ultimately, it will be a waste of time. But Jesus said, I am building my church. I'm building my church. The church and the kingdom of God will be forever. It will be forever. That's why this is something that's gripped my heart. And I've learned that, when God spoke to me, it was just something inside. I didn't understand it. It was a promise of a glorious church. I didn't know what it was. I still don't. Still just got a tiny bit. But it's something that will be beautiful beyond description. Beautiful. His bride. You think how we sang about the beauty of Jesus? The beauty of Jesus? In heaven, everybody is just looking at Jesus. They're not looking at each other. They're looking at Jesus. Can you imagine how incredibly beautiful his bride fit for Jesus will be? Amazingly beautiful. And that is us that we're privileged to be called into. So I want, in healthy living, we need to understand that it's not about me and my health only. We want you to live fruitful, healthy lives, each one of you, and be healthy, be connected to God and to each other. But God's after a people, community, a church, a bride. And I want to encourage you to pray for that. Seek that. And I really want to, I hope I've managed to convey a bit of my passion, but the passion that God has for his church. He is besotted with his bride. He's besotted with his bride. And I really want to pray that God touches our hearts. So let's just pray. Father, we just find it incredible that you look to us, your bride, your church. You love us so much. You are passionately in love with your church. And we're so privileged to be part of that. We're so privileged that you called each one of us to be part of that. I pray for each one of us, we would grasp a vision for your church, a passion that in Jesus' name we grow into the bride, your help, your spirit. We have faith and hope to become that. We work towards that. We are a bride that is getting ourselves ready for that day. We will meet you face to face. And there'll be that wedding. Oh, thank you. It's incredible. Pray for a passion to come into our hearts for your church, the passion that you have. Pray in Jesus' name.